Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday Morning Mojo Call. My name is Nancy Hultman, and I come to you from the Maryland Marketplace. And I love that I get to spend a few minutes with you this morning talking about our Morning Mojo to get us started. So one thing that's for sure over the last 18, 20 months is nothing is the same, and that is the way that we do everything has drastically changed, and including leadership. And so I recently read a very good book, Dare to Lead by Brené Brown, that talks about how leadership has changed so much. If you've ever read anything by Brené Brown, you know how amazing she is. So today, this mojo is going to be about what I consider one of her best books, Dare to Lead, which challenges conventional leadership ideas in the best possible way. Instead of telling you to be stern, unfailing leader like traditional leadership advises, Brown teaches us in this book about being vulnerable, teachable, and humble, and that it's actually what brings the best results when leading a team. Dare to Lead is a counter-narrative about a modern workplace culture that offers vulnerability, trust, values, and resilience as the most critical leadership qualities. Daring to Lead is about being brave enough to embrace leadership that exposes fear and uncertainty. The author, she's become one of the best at talking about imperfection, shame, being vulnerable. Her insight to wisdom literally has inspired millions of people. And if you don't know who she is, she's a professor, she's a public speaker, a researcher, and of course, a best-selling author who challenges us to look at the world and see ourselves in new ways. And honestly, to survive in today's marketplace, that's what it's about. It's about challenging yourself to be different, to survive in new ways. The way we did things doesn't work anymore, and we have to change in order to be continuing to be successful. You know, we've all heard there's a shift going on. There's a shift in the world. We have to learn how to pivot. And they're the things, they're the people you want to expose yourself to, people who are changing, people who are shifting in today's marketplace. So the first thing to look at as is what kind of environment are you in? Are you in a toxic environment, a toxic work culture, a toxic home environment? What makes you feel where you are? How do you feel when you make a mistake, when you make a mistake at home, when you make a mistake at work? For many of us, failure is something we tend to avoid at all costs because we think it paints us to be incompetent. So when we do something wrong at work or at home or in a social setting or, you know, in our ACM business, we tend to move towards self-protection. She talks about you've got to have a good group with a dynamic chemistry that invites us to reflect in our own workplace culture the good and the bad. She shows us how groups can either thrive or fail by analyzing safety and security and the ability to be able to share our stories, good and bad. A positive work environment is where one where people can feel safe. They can be vulnerable, they can make mistakes, but they have a shared vision towards something positive. And unfortunately, the old climate or culture that we came to accept was based around shaming failure. And this led to very poor decision-making and performances of groups. And that's what she talks about. So I found this very relative to leading an ACN team. And when it comes to leadership, this can manifest itself as the need to appear dominant and not to admit failure or to avoid hurting people by feeling that you're going to get criticized. So it's a knee-jerk reaction that failure is often passing the buck or shifting the blame. We feel that if we draw attention to someone else's negligence, we can deflect our own story. Listen, I can tell you this. People who complain and people who talk about other people are just people who are avoiding their own self-reflection. They're avoiding things about themselves because they're trying to shift that blame. Remember that when you hear people talking about each other. Or, you know, talking about somebody else's negative instead of wanting to be constructive, instead of wanting to say, how can we help that person? That's what we have to look for in a leader. We also want to avoid being leaders is owning up or having difficult conversations, which means there's no motivation to find workable solutions. Listen, the leader or the mentor who has a difficult conversation with you is the mentor and leader that you want. Why? Because they really care. They're willing to get to the problem and find a solution. And these are behaviors we want to look at. We want to be proactive. We want to create a workplace that isn't toxic, where people, they don't feel like they're working on eggshells or feel like they're imposters at their job. And to change unhealthy or problematic leadership, you need to adopt the core values of being brave and illustrate that bravery means being honest and completely vulnerable. True courage isn't combative or aggressive. It's empathetic. So vulnerability is a superpower, and she talks about that. She talks about being courageous and being brave. And as a leader, you have to show that, yes, you too are vulnerable. And that's something that really goes against what's been taught in the past. We're so misguided about leadership. Brown's advice is to take the opposite view of the narrative that we've been taught. And what she inserts, the true leader is the first person who owns up to being vulnerable. Brown's research has also shown that being brave and courageous can't happen without being vulnerable. And that's so hard for some of us, is to admit things that have happened to us, to admit when we're wrong, to admit that maybe things aren't going so great right now. And through interviewing thousands of leaders, she found that the ones that admitted to feeling vulnerable while could perform acts of courage better and help more people. And so she said this just means that we have to open up to ourselves and we have to open up to other people's scrutiny. Now, isn't that the hardest thing? You know, yesterday, you know, I found out somebody said something about me being in ACN and not bringing it into my business. And I was so hurt yesterday about it. And I really had to pick up this book and take a look at it because it was going to knock me back. And I had to finally say, this doesn't matter what somebody else is saying. It's about me being brave, me being open to what I believe in, and me moving forward. So sometimes she says as a leader, you have to risk that being vulnerable because when you're risking it, you're risking your safety and your reputation. So you have to have courage to do it because there's no other way to be successful and to rise to the top as a leader. So how do we go about dealing with anxieties and fears about being vulnerable? The first thing we need to do is to stop thinking that it's a weakness. You know, yesterday I had to say stop. You know, this isn't a weakness just because somebody else has an opposite opinion of you. It's quite the opposite, in fact. Ignoring your feelings is not good for you. You have to say what's happening and you have to deal with it head on. You have to trust that you are in a series of negotiations rather than an existing agreement that this person is correct. You don't have to trust someone entirely to be vulnerable. I don't have to give in to this person. I don't have to trust them. I just have to accept that this is what they feel and I feel differently. And we have to keep moving forward. These are the exchanges that we make that you will build upon to become more vulnerable, but to also to become a better leader. So, you know, what this means is you don't disclose all the skeletons in your closet. You know, it's the contrary. It means creating boundaries and operating within them in an appropriate context. So if you're having issues dealing with what you're afraid people are going to think, or you're afraid that you're doing the wrong thing, and you don't know how to move forward as a leader because you're scared about what other people think, I honestly suggest this is a great book to read. And, you know, she talks about as being a top leader, you have to trade polite conversations for honest conversations. Having tough conversations is part of being a good leader. Sometimes those conversations are with yourself. It's never easy having these type of conversations, but owning up to being vulnerable is the way to make them an easier process. She explains that kindness comes from clarity, and unkindness comes from withholding, avoiding, or tempering information. You have to say what you mean, and you have to avoid the temptation to be polite and sugarcoat things, but you still are kind. Being honest doesn't mean being cruel or unkind, but it does mean being critical and offering clear areas of improvement where needed. It's unfair to hold people accountable when they don't even know what they're struggling with. How many of us avoid somebody in our team right now just because they're not producing or because they're not doing the right thing? Do we really know what's going on with them? Do they know that they're not doing the right things to be successful? See, these are the tough conversations as a leader you have to have, but you can have them being kind and being fair and helping these people come from a servant attitude. Another problem is that we often identify easy emotions as the ones we're struggling with. We often claim that we're tired or stretched, which is often an all-catch for feeling that we're not dealing with, and they compromise a wide range of emotions. Understanding how people around you are feeling is imperative to being able to be responding appropriately to people and implementing policies that will change for the overall well-being of your team or your organization. The next thing she says is you got to deal with ego. Stifling emotions and vulnerability doesn't foster a healthy work environment or a team environment because it encourages ego to step in. When we're operating in defensive environments, there's huge temptation to strive and protect our egos. Listen, I understand this very well because my back goes up a lot when people accuse me of things or when I see somebody doing something I think that's rude. And you often avoid trying something because you're afraid. You don't want to make a fool of yourself. You don't want to be good enough. You don't want to live up to either your expectations that you can't live up to or somebody else's. Brown argues that egos often influence us and make us so nervous and anxious about our performance that we flee away from it. We don't dare to step forward. We don't take the chance. Our search for perfection often prevents us from trying because we're too scared to fail and make mistakes. So leaders, if you're a good leader, you should foster a work culture or a team culture where your team isn't afraid to try and your team isn't afraid to fail. See, we don't ever hear that, do we? You know, we've got to let people know in our organization that it's okay to fail. There are three ways to do this. The first is to avoid rewarding any kind of defensive behavior. You know, from a young age, we're often praised for not making mistakes. We're taught to avoid failure at all costs. We often see people getting rewarded for so-called perfection, but she honestly says this isn't healthy because no one learns from doing well all the time. With more, we often jump towards criticism without offering solutions or ideas. It's critical to view criticism and solution as acts that happen simultaneously. You know, I have to admit that Miss Leanne Gabriel is awesome at that. There isn't a time when she'll tell me, like, well, it might have been better if you did it this way, or this is a better solution. And that is really important. Instead of criticizing the person, just give them the solution to get the answer that they're looking for. Second, when people are acting defensively, it's essential to call them out on this behavior. Having open communication is what she believes is the most imperative thing for being a good leader today. And we must be brave enough to stand up to defensive actions. Making suggestions for improvements and providing honest feedback is part and the most important parcel of being a good leader today. Finally, when dealing with ego, remember to recognize team members and employees who are making improvements, which we do in our team calls all the time. So when other team members are exhibiting brave and vulnerable behavior, it should be pointed out as an example to follow. There's no shame in shame. Shame is genuine and a compelling human emotion. Shame often comes with feelings of anxiety, guilt, and not being worth anything. When we feel like we haven't achieved our goals or lived up to expectations, we often look at our self-worth and feel we're not good enough. Brown takes a different approach to shame and argues that there are more healthy ways to dealing with it. Ways to deal with shame in healthy and progressive ways is to open up about it. Again, the key word is empathy. When we show support and empathize with those experiencing shame, we can move past these feelings and use them for a growth experience. For Brown, being a courageous and effective leader is about harnessing the power of empathy. We all have bad days. There are some days that we wish we could forget, but maybe it's a blotched presentation or an awkward meeting or just, you know, you make a mistake. A good leader won't ignore these experiences. They will make a connection and display empathy. Your team needs to know leadership has their back, and empathy is a good way to encourage and give feedback and support values. So let's talk about values. Dealing with vulnerability, it takes this patience and persistence, but another skill in daring to lead is identifying and honing in on your core values so that you can be more resilient. So what are your core values? Have you ever made a list of your core values? No doubt you're probably thinking it's an extensive list of things. You know, at first I thought, I could write down 20 or 30 things. But what you want to do is hone in on this solid and essential core values and focus on that, because we don't want to pick the easiest route. We want to make sure that everything we do is aligned with our core values. So it's a good idea to start with a list and evaluate those and pick the top 2 to 3 that are your driving force. Look, this takes some practice and discipline, but it's worth it because a clear sense of values also allows us to communicate with others way more effectively. The company's values are honesty and well-being. If that's what your value is, these could translate into open communication, critical feedback, and allowing your team to have a workplace that allow them to be free and not scared. Understanding core values will allow everyone to self-evaluate and consider whether their actions are lining up with the importance of the organization. So this is really important as a leader, trust and connection. How trustworthy are you? She talks about, you know, she gave a great example that you have to consider yourself to be trustworthy. However, in trust, there's always a weak link. And if any of you remember the book or the movie or the TV show, The Game of Thrones, when Varys asked Tyrion how many others knew about Jon Snow's lineage, Tyrion tells him 8. The famous answer to that response is, this is not a secret, this is information. Knowledge is power, and it's trust, and you have to trust it to challenge and to forge forward. Most of us avoid talking about trust issues, and we skirt around the subject. As with all things, Brown encouraged us to acknowledge the proverbial elephant in the room and communicate feelings of trust and insecurity. A leader who dares to lead communicates about trust and doesn't gloss over weakness and potential problems. For example, a leader may not trust someone to take the lead on a project. However, insist on saying, I don't trust you with this. Instead of saying something like that, you should say something like, your time management is a problem, so we need to work on that if you want to take the lead on this. Remember, a team must trust each other and take time to reflect through small and consistent acts. Being connected and having trust happens simultaneously, and this happens through open courageousness and being fearless. So we have to be brave. Often we appear to be strong, but it's difficult and for us to be honest with our feelings. Being brave is what will help this. So we have to learn how to be brave in order to communicate our true feelings with each other. So in conclusion, Dare to Lead is an incredible human-centered approach to effective leadership. It looks at what makes us human and offers a gentler approach to getting what we need from others. It is not forceful or aggressive, and yet it is the most effective way to nurture the best elements in your team and other individuals. Brown shows us in this book that being vulnerable is the bravest thing we can do. We need to strive to expose our weaknesses and generally self-evaluate ourselves. It's not about a typical scenario where we disguise strength and weakness as weaknesses. It's about acknowledging our actual faults and leading by example. So go out there with your team today and focus on communication and empathy. You know, let people know your core values. Take charge by cultivating trust and resilience with people. Power needs to be summoned, and we do this through accepting and embracing our vulnerabilities. So we don't want to scrutinize other people. We're better equipped to dealing with people and finding solutions than we are scrutinizing them. The new definition of a great leader is one who dares greatly and leads gently. Go out today, be kind to your team, lead them with kindness, and you will find you will reap better rewards. Everyone, have an awesome day. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.